Welcome to the Qumran Report. I'm down south in my hometown of Greenville, Mississippi, and I'm speaking with my brother, Reverend Freddie Johnson. He lives in Memphis, Tennessee. Reverend Johnson, welcome to the Qumran Report.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, can you tell us a little about your military service, what branch, years of service, and your MOS?
Okay, military service, did 5 years, United States Air Force, 1964 to 69. MOS was Air Police. Mm-hmm. And
now, what was the racial situation like in the military during that time?
Well, like I said, it was in the 60s, and the racial situation in the military, well, it was kind of kept solid. Mm-hmm. In the organization I was in. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I was one of the only blacks in my squadron, which was Air Police. Most of them was of the white race. Man, we got along pretty good, you know. And for us racists, mm-hmm. never really dealt with it. Mm-hmm. Because, like I said, I was Air Policeman. And it was my job to, you know, something goes wrong for me to intercept it. Mm-hmm. So mainly that's what I was focused on.
Okay. Now, what are your thoughts on Dr. King? This is Dr. King's national holiday on Monday, January the 21st, mm-hmm. 2013. What are your thoughts on Dr. King? Well, especially since Dr. King was a minister also.
Mm-hmm. Dr. King was really one of my role models. And his work should be and never should be and couldn't be forgotten for what he did for the black race, you know, during those days as our main spokesman. You know, there was pros and there was cons. Mm-hmm. Like one of the cons, Malcolm X, mm-hmm. you know, which also I don't believe has gotten his you know, recognition also, mm-hmm. because him and Dr. King go hand in hand to me.
Okay.
And Dr. King should never be forgotten.
Okay.
And like you say, I'm from Memphis, Tennessee, and there's a place there called Graceland.
Where Elvis Presley.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Where they honor Elvis Presley, which is nothing wrong with it, you know, if that's what they want to do. But speaking personally, I don't see too much what Elvis Presley done for his race or either our race. Mm-hmm. I'm not putting Elvis Presley down or anything like that. But just looking at what is going on there right now, mm-hmm. Elvis Boulevard run miles and miles long. Dr. King, as of this year to be exact, just got a little strip of street, mm-hmm. named Dr. Martin Luther King Boulevard. Mm-hmm. You know, both of them died in Memphis.
In Memphis, yeah.
One died, what they like to say, natural causes. Mm-hmm. But you know how he died, Elvis Presley.
Yeah.
And you know how Dr. King died.
Mm-hmm. One assassinated, one OD'd on drugs.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I didn't mm-hmm. want to say it, but like I say, not trying to put nobody down, but I always ask myself this question: who did the most for the people, regardless of race, color, or creed? And the answer I always get is Dr. Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm. Mine's too, no doubt in mm-hmm. my mind.
But in Memphis, they call Elvis Presley the King. Mm-hmm. You know, which is cool with me because it really don't matter to me.
Yeah.
Because I know what Dr. Martin Luther King did and through his speeches, through mm-hmm. his marches. Mm-hmm. Things of that nature. He did a lot for the mm-hmm. not only the black race, but for both races.
As a whole. Especially mm-hmm. now pushing the concept of nonviolence with all of this violence mm-hmm. that's going on mm-hmm. in the world.
Right.
You know, they trying to look like they're trying to try everything but what he laid down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now let me ask you this. Dr. King said that the three greatest evils mm-hmm. for America was racism, poverty, and militarism. Can you touch a little on each one of them, what he was talking about, or whether or not that have come to be since he was assassinated?
Yeah. My heart is saying, speak on this one first.
Mm-hmm.
Poverty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, simply because, like, today is Christmas Day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you watch the TV, and you see so many episodes on Feed the Hungry, Feed the Homeless, and all that. Now, if they did it right, we wouldn't have to go through all that. Mm-hmm. If they share and share alike, you know, with, like, the rich man got this much over him, man got that much over him, and the poor man got nothing.
Mm-hmm.
He just out there homeless on his own. Mm-hmm. And that lead to the military. A lot of those are veterans.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
That's right.
Yeah. And they got it set up so the veterans can get help. But a lot of veterans don't even know what the first step to take.
Yeah.
Now take me for example. I've been trying to get service connected ever since 1986. And it just happened 2012.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
To be out there straight from Vietnam and just dumped back in the world, mm-hmm. no help or nothing like that. Thank God every day.
Mm-hmm. And so that's the...
For still being there, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's the regular status of what they're doing to most of the veterans all over the United mm-hmm. States in terms of being homeless and... Mm-hmm. And the time element in terms of getting help and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now how about, yeah, you touched on militarism, poverty, and then how about the other one, the other three that he talked about, racism? Yeah, let me ask you this, because when we come up in Greenville, Mississippi, which was an almost totally segregated society down here, have things changed much? Do you see, especially even in the Memphis area, have the concept of racism, have it changed much? Have it gotten better? Is the progress being made in terms of the relationship between the races?
The way I actually feel about racism,
mm-hmm.
that the oppressor, which is a white race,
mm-hmm.
realized what was going on those days. And most of those people are gone.
Mm-hmm.
But their ancestors realized what they did. And man, they're still running. You know, instead of facing
mm-hmm.
one another, like the white folks move out, the black folks move in.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, to me, that showed me one thing, that they haven't changed that much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just more modernized now.
Mm-hmm.
Modernized racism. And smiling in your faces, stabbing you in your back, things mm-hmm. of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I would have to say it haven't changed.
Okay, now let me ask you this. Being a minister,
mm-hmm.
what could the religious establishment do to impact that, to deal with this whole concept of racism? Is it an obligation for the churches and stuff to deal with that, to mm-hmm. Make it people get along better regardless of their races? What can the churches do in that?
The church plays a major role in that.
Mm-hmm.
And the church, to me, has leaders that are not really dedicated to what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a mega church, like,
yeah,
let me give you a good example of Common Street. When I first went to Memphis, that's where I was going. This was a mega church,
mm-hmm.
right around the corner from where we live there.
Big, huge mega church in Memphis?
Mm-hmm.
Good. What's it called?
Common Street Baptist Church.
Mm-hmm.
Time the church got flowing,
mm-hmm.
moved out. Know where it moved to?
Where?
Out there where the white folks were.
Moved out in the suburb.
In the suburb.
Yeah.
All the people, I mean, in the community, in the neighborhood, that was going to this church, especially the one that didn't have the transportation, things of that nature, mm-hmm. couldn't get way out there.
Yeah.
And I haven't been out there since because I think it was a really low down dirty thing to do.
Yeah, to move out.
Come out and pull all the resources out of the neighborhood, talking about the church.
Yeah.
And that showed me one thing that it wasn't a dedicated group of people doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And for racism is concerned, we got to get in contact with God and the right peoples.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this. Now, in the scripture, can you talk just a little about, because I know Jesus dealt with racism when he dealt with the Jewish people used to look down on the Samaritans.
Yeah, the Pharisees and Sadducees.
They thought they was better than them. Mm-hmm. You know, what was the message of Jesus in terms of dealing with racism?
One another.
Mm-hmm.
He even gave us a new commandment concerning that, what you just asked me.
Mm-hmm.
Love one another. But this, all men will know that you are my disciple.
Mm-hmm.
It is if you love one another.
Mm-hmm.
And also, another scripture thing is John, love your neighbors like you love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And to me, those are all the commandments in the Bible, which is way more than 10.
Yeah.
You know, that was the most powerful commandment Jesus could have gave us.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he called it, a brand new commandment. No, not a brand, just throwing a brand in.
Yeah.
That we got to love one another.
Yeah.
He didn't say the black man loved the white man loved the black. Yeah. Pharisee loved the Sadducees, Gentile loved, he said love one another.
Yeah.
And love your neighbor like you love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And,
okay. Great. Mm-hmm. Great interview. Okay, Reverend Freddie Johnson, who live in Memphis, Tennessee. We down here in our hometown of Greenville, Mississippi. Thank you very much for being a guest on the Coonrown Report.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. Yeah.